This show was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kanepes, Hawke's Bay's community access radio station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for enabling us to put Hawke's Bay voices on air.
Hello, beautiful. Welcome to Your Time to Shine, All Things Self-Love, the show that brings you real conversations around self-love. My name is Celine from My Dawning Light, and I am here to show you how you can love yourself right now, no matter what's going on in your life. And spoiler alert, it's so much easier than you think. Okay, you ready? Let's get right to it.
Give the contrast between when you didn't have the kind of self-love that you have now, and the self that you do have now, and how specifically that has impacted your relationship. Like, what's changed from when you draw a picture from A and a picture about B? what kind of happened there?
Okay, that's a difficult question for me, but I'll do my best to answer that. I tend to not have many memories of the past. I'm in the present, as you say. But so my memories from the past are actually really vague. But I'll do my best. So from what I can remember, 7 years ago, I was in my mind a lot. I was spending a lot of time in front of the mirror, you know, looking at all of my pimples. So that was a practical example. I didn't know how to have friends. I didn't know how to engage with people. I was stressed a lot. I was eating a lot of sugar and I was exhausted all the time. So the sugar was helping me to find that extra energy, but obviously it was impacting on my body, and which in turn, you know, just, you know, gave me a lot of acne. And what else did I have? I just felt self-conscious a lot of the time. I couldn't be in groups of more than two or three people. And I had to spend a lot of time on my own to try and recuperate that energy that I had to spend with others. I was studying at the time. And I felt on the whole that life was absolutely exhausting all the time. And I was spending a lot of time blaming others for how I felt. So, for example, you know, if somebody said something that wasn't very nice to me, I would kind of agonize over that thing, you know, over and over and over again. And I had these moments at night where I would just kind of remember something that had happened 5, 10, 15 years ago, you know, perhaps, you know, something, somebody criticized me or somebody said something that I didn't appreciate, and it just, you know, would wake me up, and I would, you know, wake up, you know, cringing and think about, oh my goodness, I'm not enough, and no matter what I do, I will never belong, I will never be accepted, and I will never be able to love myself because I can see that the feedback from others is negative, right?
Right. So just one second. So yeah, you have that. And how did your then boyfriend react to that? Like, did you have conflict because of that? Did you like blame him because of that, or how did that play out?
I was having tantrums a lot. Actually, I was, you know, creating arguments a lot, and I mean the whole thing. I mean, all of what Richard really wanted was to spend time with me, right? And we had a limited amount of time together before I had to go back to Europe. And I just kept making up excuses and for not spending time with me. And I didn't want to talk about certain things. Like, obviously, you know, my acne was everywhere, right? Like, it was the first thing that you could see when you first met me. And he wanted to ask me some questions about my skin. So, you know, like, what's going on with your skin or what's going on with your health? And I would just shut down. And that was it. I just didn't want to engage with Richard on the more, on a deeper, more intimate level, right? And you have to allow yourself to be vulnerable if you want to be in a relationship that's going to last, right?
Right. So hold on one second. So do you know how it impacted him? Has he ever told you about that?
From the conversations that we've had around this topic, I think he didn't understand. He didn't understand why I was pushing him away, because when we first met, we both knew that this was it. This was the relationship that we were both going to focus all of our efforts on. Right. Like, we had met the one, you know, both of us recognized that pretty quickly. And so we were sort of obsessed with each other, but then there was, you know, me and my mental health not being, you know, what it should have been. And so he was hurt, but at the same time, he was like, but you're the one, you know, you're the person for me. So you're not making any sense whatsoever. And I think that he had spent a lot of time, so quite a few years waiting for me, and he had been single for quite a while before meeting me. And so he was hurt, but he was also incredibly persistent and stubborn.
Right. Okay. And so fast forward to where you are now, right? In the relationship. How has that change now? You know, are there still what you call tantrums and those kind of arguments, or has that lessened? Like, what's happening there now?
Yeah, I think that now our relationship is like we're a really good team, Richard and I. And I think that this is due to me deciding that my mental health was not good and I had to change things and I had to take responsibility for how I felt. And one thing that came up a lot when at the beginning of our relationship is that I was always acting up and I was always taking up the role of the victim, right? You know, you're doing this, you never do this, you don't respect me. You know, if you're asking me to do dishes, you're sexist and all of these things. And I was just, you know, blaming it on him all the time and all the time. And, you know, Richard is a bit, you know, is quite a bit older than me. He's 8 or 9 years older than me. And he's, you know, he's been in, you know, long-term relationships before. And he kind of looks like, I know myself, like, you know, this is all on you, right? And it's difficult to hear, right? Because when you're in a relationship, it's kind of, you know, who's doing what? Like, how can you put blame on somebody for something that's occurring in their relationship, a difficulty that's occurring in the relationship? And I think that what has really changed for me is that I started to take responsibility for how I felt. And I started to be a lot more honest about how I feel and why I feel that way. So the other day, you know, we both came home from work and we were incredibly exhausted and we had to still drop off the car at the car place for her to get her warrant or fitness or whatever. And it was just like, you know, we had half an hour together and it was such a crap half an hour because we were so tired, right? You know, old Celine would have said, oh, Richard, I don't want to spend any time with you. Just please go away. I want to be on my own for a little while. And I you know, I would have been annoyed by every little thing that he did. And now Celine would say, well, you know, it is what it is. I'm really tired right now. Can we just spend some time in silence? Or can we just, you know, enjoy being tired together, if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, there was a moment, I think, just to clarify, you're saying, oh, wow, how can you place all the blame on one person? Was that statement referring to Richard saying that that's on you, or is it referring to what's going on inside of you and you blaming him?
Kind of difficult, right? Because, you know, Richard and I were always reacting from the other person, right? So I'm reacting from Richard's behaviors and patterns and, I don't know, the sounds that he makes when he eats or something, or how much he slurps when he has a cup of tea. You know, we're always reacting from what the other person is doing, right? So I think in that sense, it's quite difficult to see, okay, so this is on Celine or this is on Richard. And I think that I've, especially in the beginning, like I waited for Richard to change. I waited for him to change so that I would finally feel better and allow myself to be more vulnerable or happy in the relationship. And then I realized that, you know, Richard is who he is and he's probably aware of all the things that he would like to change, and probably it's really difficult for him. And it's not onto me. It's not my responsibility to change him. It's not my responsibility to kind of, you know, just remind him that this is not working and he has to change this or he has to change that or this is limiting, blah, 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 right? So in that way, I think that when there is an issue, it's up to me to see the role that I play in the conflict, the difficulty, right, in the challenge, and to see what I can change. And most of the time, you know, we just I don't know, like it's kind of difficult to come up with an example. Let me think. There's nothing coming to my mind. But what I wanted to say is that, yeah, you have to take responsibility for who you are and how you're feeling and, you know, what your thoughts are the way they are, and just have that opportunity or that vulnerability to be open about what's going on for you. You know, often we just kind of just shut down and just try to pretend that everything is okay. But when you say, okay, Richard, I'm feeling like this and this is not working for me and I don't really understand how to change this just yet, but I'm working on it, then suddenly you have a platform for a change, right? And you're working together rather than Celine trying to do all of the work herself on her own silently.
That makes sense. So how has that ownership, that responsibility impacted Richard? You know, like when instead of you like being like, oh, he has to change, and you waiting for him to change, you taking responsibility and not waiting for him to change, to be open and vulnerable. Like, how has that actually impacted him? Have you noticed a change in him as well?
I don't know if this has impacted him. Like, Richard is really good at noticing when I'm putting stuff on him that's not his to take. And he's good at setting boundaries in that way and kind of just, you know, calling me out on this. But I've noticed that we have a lot less arguments because I know what my stuff is, right? And I know how to recognize it, and he knows how to recognize it as well. You know, one of my things is that I just do a lot of things and then I get exhausted and then I don't want to spend any time with him and then I get really annoyed and I need to sleep a lot and I just don't want to hear any noise in the house. You know, that's one of my things, right? And so when that happens, we're both aware, okay, Celine has done too much again and she just needs a quiet space for half an hour and then she'll be fine again. You know, so I think, yeah, I think he's happier because I'm happier, to be honest. He's
right. Been like that. Right. So the step that a lot of women can struggle with is like, okay, well, he needs to be different so that I can be vulnerable. But you didn't wait for him to be different to become vulnerable. How did you do that? How did you allow yourself to become vulnerable despite him being the same?
I think that the main reason is that I've had a lot of boyfriends in the past who were broken. And I chose them because they were broken or, you know, mentally unhealthy, however you want to say it. And I chose them because of that, because I wanted to fix them, right? Mm. And, you know, I'm somebody who can easily see what people's hurts and traumas and dramas are. And I can see that there's an easy solution to that, right? But in my marriage, it's not my job to fix Richard. You know, it's, you know, this is my job. My job is to help people to fix their stuff when they want to fix their stuff. But Richard might not see that his stuff is stuff. He might just see, yes, you know, this is me. This is how I do things. And he might not be ready for it as well. And so I just don't want to be the kind of wife who nags all the time, you know, at the partner, right? Like, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And I just don't want to see that because I saw that in my mother and I saw how that impacted their, you know, her relationship with my dad. And I don't want to be that kind of woman. So just yesterday, actually, we were driving home and Richard was driving at 70 Ks instead of 50 Ks on a really windy countryside road. And I was like, Richard, you need to drive slow. And I shut myself down. I'm not going to say anything. I've already told him this a million times on the same road. He knows this. He doesn't want to go at 50 Ks, whatever. This is his problem. If he's going to be stopped by the police, I'll be like, I told you so. But I have to shut up. It's not my job.
Right. But I mean, before, when you are in this kind of mindset of it's his fault and he has to change, you most likely are not going to feel safe to be vulnerable, right? So how do you then introduce vulnerability into the equation when you're still in that kind of mindset? Like, what did you have to do to actually be able to do that?
Well, from my perspective, if I see that Richard has to change and I don't like the things that he's not changing and I resent him for not doing the work that he's supposed to do, then I ask myself, well, you know, is there something that's going on inside of you, Celine? Like, where are you not allowing yourself to change? Or where are you feeling that you're not changing enough? Or where are you feeling that, yeah, you're not doing enough inner work? Why are you not feeling unworthy, Celine? And when I answer that question, it's always going to be so, I'm always going to find an answer that's going to say, Celine, I know I'm going to talking to myself here, but, you know, I feel unsafe or I feel that I have to change this because, you know, me behaving like this is not helping our relationship grow and deepen into what it can be. Or there's always going to be, I can always relate that issue to myself. And when I fix that within myself, then I'm no longer triggered by whatever I was triggered by previously, if that makes sense. And I think that's one of the big things for me was that I was always struggling to be better, do more, you know, go further. You know, I have a business. I always want to do more in the business. There's always, you know, an endless list of tasks that I can do, right? And same when it comes to self-development, I'm not perfect. There's many ways in which I still struggle to accept myself, right? And so if I say, okay, Richard, this is what you need to change, I have to relate this back to me. Celine, how you need to accept yourself first. How can you, you know, apply unconditional self-acceptance to you now? And when I can do this, when I have the answer to that question, then I realize, ah, this was what it was all about. It was never about Richard for me. It was always about me criticizing or judging myself for not being enough.
That might be a bit of a leap for some of the listeners. Be like, well, hold on a second. I see my partner doing this, and now you're saying it's me that I have to, I'm not accepting of myself. Can you elaborate on that? How that's actually true, that this switch from blaming the other person to seeing that actually something not accepting within yourself?
Okay, so let's break it down. So let's take an example. Let's say that I resent Richard for being a night person. So I'm a morning person, he's a night person. So I have a lot of energy in the morning, and as the day goes, I have less and less energy. Mm. He's the opposite. You know, when he wakes up in the morning, he's really grumpy, but he gets more and more energy at night. And so he goes to bed really late, I go to bed really early. So we have endless arguments around that. So my previous behavior was, Richard, you're not respecting me, and you're making a lot of noise, and you're watching movies, and you're, you know, banging plates in the kitchen, and, you know, you're doing all of this, and you're not respecting the fact that this is my quiet time. This is where I need to recharge my batteries, because I have to wake up at 5 tomorrow, right? And so we had this argument for years, and previous Celine would have said, you know, Richard, you're not respecting me, and I need you to change this. I need you to be more quiet, and blah, 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 blah. And to a certain extent, he could have been more respectful of, mm-hmm. you know, what I needed to experience, right? And I think he did. He certainly has made a lot of changes, especially in the past few months. But then, well, what is the issue here? Who's creating the problem, right? In itself, there's no problem. It's just, you know, there's just something that can be changed. But I'm making it into a huge deal because I feel that I'm not respected. I feel like Richard doesn't value my needs, right? Even though, you know, I'm really quiet in the morning when he needs to sleep in and so on. And so the problem here for me, in my perspective, and there's many ways that we can have a look at this, right? The problem, I think, for me is that I feel disrespected. I feel that I don't matter. I feel that Richard doesn't care about my needs. I feel that he's taking advantage of me. Oh my God, I'm in a relationship with a narcissistic man and so on, right? And so it on and on it goes in my head, right? But I can just tell myself to shut up, you know, shut down that, you know, well repeated record. Is that an expression? But I can just shut down that kind of just, you know, circuit of thoughts and belief systems and unworthiness and he's not respecting me and so on. And I can say, actually, that's not true. Richard, you know, respects me and he respects my needs. And I know this because I've seen many examples in the past. He's not perfect. The relationship is never going to be perfect, but I have evidence of him respecting me and my needs, right? Mm. And so when I can just allow myself to realize that I'm still respected, then I'm not going to create a tantrum or a drama or an argument or a huge challenge that is going to be really difficult for us to solve, right? Mm. So for me, the answer is, I am respected. I am worthy. It's okay. We're going to find a solution together. But can you see, you know, you're still going to have that conversation about how you can make it work in the evening together, right? But I have changed how I feel about the situation. I'm no longer coming from a perspective of it's all Richard's fault, you know? Right. Makes sense?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, in that very specific example, was there also a component of I'm not accepting myself? Like, okay, so he's making the noise and being disrespectful and whatever. Was there also a thought of where am I being disrespectful to myself, or where am I being insensitive or something like that? Or that didn't apply in this specific scenario?
A little bit. I think in the beginning, I kind of thought that, you know, I'm 28. Like, I should be able to, you know, go to bed at 11:30 p.m. at night and still, you know, have lots of energy in the morning. So I felt resentful that I had... that if I went to bed at later than 10:30 p.m. at night, then I would have a headache in the morning, basically, right? Mm. And so that was, you know, that was really the core of my issue, that I wouldn't feel well in the morning. And so in the beginning, I would try and spend that time or more time in the evening with Richard, and I would just try and stay up for a little while longer. And then in the morning, obviously, it didn't work, and I felt resentful. And so I felt resentful towards my body, that it wasn't working the way I wanted it to work. And so that was also part of the issue. But in the end, I had to accept that, you know, I'm a morning person and I can't, you know, keep going all day long, and, you know, from, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning until midnight. It's not something that I can physically do, right? And so there's nothing wrong with me. This is just the way that my body works. And so in that way, it was, yeah, definitely a lack of self-acceptance.
All right, beautiful. Thank you so much for joining me this week on Your Time to Shine, all things self-love. Make sure to visit my gorgeous website, mydawninglight.com, mydawninglight.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Spotify and all the main podcast platform thingies so you never miss a show. And while you're at it, if you loved what you heard in this show, do share it with a friend or with your cat, your dog. Give the show a rating on iTunes, whatever. Post about it in your Insta stories. And if you're ready to love yourself but have no idea where to start, please feel free to DM me on Instagram and I'd love to have a chat with you. And be sure to tune in again in a couple of weeks for our next episode. In the meantime, I'm sending you so, so, so much love and I'll speak to you very, very soon. Bye!
This show was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Kanepes, Hawke's Bay's community access radio station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for enabling us to put Hawke's Bay voices on air.